Before we start today's podcast, I want to encourage you to go to dogbehaviorconference.com and check out this year's Dog Behavior Conference. It's a three-day live online event available to anyone around the world who loves dogs and wants to live their best life together with them. Registration is open now and seats are going fast, so visit dogbehaviorconference.com and reserve your spot today. That's dogbehaviorconference.com. Now, let's get to the podcast. When we were deciding what topic we were going to talk today with the group, they said puppies. I was like, no, we're doing puppies because it's just after Christmas. I don't want people getting puppies just for Christmas and then... But then I thought, well, look, actually, it's really important because a lot of people have got puppies for Christmas. And if puppies, if they have, then we got to talk about it, don't we? And I'm not, if you're going to get a gift as a puppy, then fine, as long as you know that that is a 15 plus year commitment on average. So that's fine. But I still think it's a great idea. So today on the podcast, and now we are talking about puppies. Thank you for everybody that is joining. I know that we are having people join us all the time from all over the world, and so glad that you can be here. You can type in the chat and say hello. You can ask questions. What we don't do on this is answer individual dog behavior questions. So if you've got a problem with your dog, we won't answer that. But if it's on topic and if it's something we can talk about within the topic, then we can talk about it. So, hello, everyone. I have just been doing 2 hours of talking for a future conference for a presentation, and that's why I cannot speak anymore. So, I will try and start this again. But hello from wherever you are. Really glad that you can be here. And yes, this is the puppy episode. Puppies. Now, a friend of mine and Holly Furfer, who you have definitely heard on the podcast before, she is now parent to an adolescent dog, but she got her puppy about 9 months ago now, nearly a year ago, actually, or maybe even, I cannot believe how quickly the time goes. But she has this puppy, and I was talking to her about her experiences of raising a puppy. And the first thing that comes to mind when I think about raising a puppy is helping that pup build resilience right from the word go, so it's successful within the domestic environment. And that's kind of what I would like to focus on to begin with, is how can we build resilience in our pups, those very formative months of life. How can we introduce pups into this world so that they're successful adolescents and successful adults? So welcome to the podcast, everybody. And so glad that you can be here. And who wants to start? How do we do that? How do we want to start raising our puppies and bring them into this world and give them all the tools they need to be successful? So somebody can take it. Tiffany.
Yeah, I think one of the things that comes to my mind is, and I've heard from a lot of clients, whether it is a brand new puppy or any new dog to them, but specifically puppies, they have a lot of either well-meaning information from friends and family and neighbors and potentially how they did things in the past. And they have a lot of pressure on them that I need to teach this puppy to sit, and I need to teach this puppy to come. And yes, all of those things can come and may be important, but I love sharing with clients that first, like you said, just helping the puppy feel safe in the new environment and helping the puppy build resilience and really just figuring out what it is in our life, in our family, in our home that this puppy is going to need to know. And it may not be the same as the puppy next door, and that's perfectly okay. So, not assuming that you have to teach this puppy or this new dog to your home exactly what someone else taught their dog. What works for you, what works for your family, what works for your lifestyle, and what works for this puppy right now? What does this puppy need? And it may not be a bunch of, repetitions of sits. It may just need to know that it's safe in this new alien place that you just brought it. I think that's really something that I like to share with clients.
And to piggyback on that, I really think that safety has to be the first thing for any puppy that you're bringing home. I mean, their world has completely been upended. Whether you've rescued, whether you've brought him home from his litter mates, it's a brand new world. And it always blows my mind on how resilient puppies can truly be. I don't think that any one of us, I don't think that even a young child of, I don't know, like maybe 2 or 3 years of age would be able to adapt as easily as a puppy does. It's really pretty amazing. But it is so important to make sure that we show the puppy that they are in a safe environment. And that means, not scaring it in any way. And having the expectations that this little creature does not know the rules that we have in our homes. So things as simple as potty training, expect that. Expect that to be an issue when it happens. And keep in mind that they're just learning. Our job is to really guide them, not correct them, not immediately think, oh, I have got to get this fixed immediately. It's about guidance. And I think that when we approach them with the correct expectations and understanding it from their point of view, we can really, really go a long way in helping them feel well, helping them feel safe, and really having a very solid foundation for a lifelong relationship.
I was going to add to Lorena. So I like that we've talked about safety, but also thinking about where they've just come from as well. So if you think about this, like having a baby, you wouldn't bring home a newborn and expect them to roll over. So we want to think about, even though that's a big fun milestone that we talk about as new parents, but if we think about, we just want to focus on helping them feel safe. And yes, there are some behavioral milestones that you'll want to achieve. But again, like what Tiffany said, not comparing to everybody else, but instead focusing on your individual and what they need. So whether you have a brand new baby puppy or you just adopted an older dog, you want to think about, like, if that were a kid, if you adopted a child that's a little older and they transitioned into a new home, you wouldn't immediately ask them to go take a standardized test at school and to absolutely nail it and crush it. You want to figure out what how they're doing at home, how they're doing in all aspects of their life, and really comfort them in this new place. And I have to do a shameless plug here as the curriculum manager for Victoria Stoll Academy and Positively, that we have courses for this. And the one I would probably recommend is the Harmony Model, which talks about bringing in all aspects of life and being sure that we have like a good balance to different parts of life. Like, especially as a new puppy person, a new puppy guardian, you are probably worried about the words like socialization, and you're probably worried about things like safety and training. And you're wondering, how do I balance all of this? So the Harmony Model is a great course on our positively.com website to help you learn how to balance all of those things. How do I enrich my dog's life? How do I communicate with this new dog puppy that I brought home? So it's a great way to start as a new dog or puppy guardian to just get started into the world of puppyhood. And congratulations on your new best friend.
It's National Train Your Dog Month too. And that means that, hey, get training. But then, for those of you who have listened to us before or listened to my podcast before or joined us on the Zoom, You know that we have a bit of a different attitude towards training than maybe other organizations do or other trainers do. In that, as Lorena had said, we don't really focus on all the kind of task orientated stuff of like, we're going to teach our dogs to sit, stay, and do all of that. And no, puppies, I feel like that's like the very first thing people teach their puppies is teaching their puppy to sit. And they're always very proud. Look what I taught. I taught my puppy to sit. And that, great. Because actually great that you have been starting to teach your puppy. I give you kudos for that. But really, that should be kind of the ones down the road that you teach. The skills that a puppy needs, probably even to begin with, is after they've settled in, is maybe just a simple attention. Learning what their name is, learning to come to you when you call, those are two really, really important skills. And so when we're talking about how do you start, I think that's from as well as welcoming your puppy and understanding how you can begin that very delicate balance of socialization and bring in things from the harmony model, because the harmony model is so wonderful for puppies, for adolescents, for adult dogs, for senior dogs, because it brings in so many elements of what that dog needs to know, to learn to be successful. And we're talking, first of all, safety and wellness here. We're then talking about socialization, communication, enrichment, training, all of these really important things that make up the harmony model. And in the center of harmony model comes Brave, coping strategies for every dog. And again, shameless plug too, that's also a course on positively.com. And that really kind of solidifies and I believe forms such a very important foundation for any dog guardian to have when they are starting their lives off with their dogs, or even now, even if you've lived with your dog for years, it's just a great kind of recheck almost. Are you covering all bases? Are there challenges that your dog is facing that you're having difficulty dealing with? And VSA and Positively, we are a solution orientated business, as in Positively, truly, we it's there so that you can have solutions, so you can prevent behavior issues and also deal with behavior issues as well. But I think also at its core, it's about understanding what you have at the other end of your leash and taking it from there.
Yeah, I want to jump in because I think oftentimes with puppies, we think of them as a monolith. It's a puppy. So this will be how she reacts, or this is the schedule she needs for house training, or this is the surface she'll be comfortable on. This is the bedding she wants to sleep on. And one of the first things that I thought about when we were considering the new Positively website, puppy training, and which, by the way, we have some ideas there, some lessons just up on the website, where you might start with your puppy, and they don't include sit. They don't include sit on there. One of the very first things I thought was, okay, well, where would we start? Well, the first thing to do is to get to know this puppy a little bit. What is she like? What is interesting to her? What might send her back a little bit, make her a little bit nervous? What does her body language look like? What does her natural sleep schedule look like? Or at least the one that she's first showing me in this house. And taking that moment before I ever start to intervene on more than you need to on your puppy's behavior can be a big step forward. It can really help take the guesswork out of where to start. I think one of the very first things that I want to see with my puppy is just what sort of body language does she show me now? Because puppy body language is a bit different than adult dog body language. It's often a little bit more subtle and shorter, but it also varies from puppy to puppy, just like adult dog's body language varies. So lesson one for me in training my puppy is learning her.
Well, now, puppies, there was a question in there is like, you know, were those first few weeks really formative? They are. They are when it comes to to teaching. And don't forget, your puppy's behavior truly is a mixture of genetics and how that puppy is raised, as well as some other stuff, but how that puppy is raised. So yes, it is really important. And I think sort of, you know, when I look at the harmony model, I see the whole harmony model as this kind of hard chocolate encrusted, like, you know, those chocolates you get that has a hard surface and inside it's just kind of mushy. I see the harmony model as that. It sort of protects. It's like a beautiful kind of everything inside the harmony model is going to help. But inside that is your socialization. It's like kind of your next layer down. Sorry, apart from safety and wellness, I think that's the next layer down. And then the next layer after that is socialization. Because really what we're seeing out there with dogs that have, you know, they're reactive on the lead or that have issues towards people or other dogs or in different environments is not dominance. It is more social anxiety and fear. And when we talk about socialization, you know, that there's a difficulty there because how do you socialize? Socialization is truly about exposure. It's not like handing your puppy to 50, 100 different kinds of people, nor is it taking your puppy and just exposing it to everything. It truly is. It's very careful. It's very well thought out. Every dog is different. So one dog might be able to take, another can't. But when do you start it? When is it safe with vaccinations? When do I vaccinate? When is it safe that I can have my puppy meet other puppies? So yes, in answer to your question, it is. Those beginning weeks are formative. And when puppy comes to you at around 8-9 weeks, you got to carry on. But even when that primary socialization window closes around 12 weeks, 13 weeks, it's still important to expose. It doesn't mean to say that your pup can't learn.
I think if I could give any new puppy owner advice, it would be to have patience. Patience is so important with puppies because, like Amaya said, it's getting to know your dog, how your dog works, and not to compare you and your dog to, say, your friend's dog. Say, oh, my friend's dog was already doing this at this stage. Get to know your dog, what works for your dog, and again, having patience.
Yeah, that's important, isn't it?
Very important.
Yeah, and I'm sure no one will be surprised to hear me say, and empathy, right, Laura? I mean, when we think about the massive change that this little animal, this little mammal has gone through, it's so important to treat them with empathy. It's a big, big change, no matter where they came from. And Victoria, when you were talking about socialization, I was thinking, you know, oftentimes we think of socialization as getting out into the world. But for a brand new puppy, that big change coming into your house, their new house, that is a socialization experience. And it's kind of dialed up to 11. So spending some days getting to know your puppy in their environment before you start taking them out into the world and introducing them to things that are new to both of you isn't losing out on that socialization window. It's a really important transition moment for many, many puppies.
But people are so excited, though, aren't they? People are so excited because they're like, they've got this new puppy. They want to show it off.
Yes. Yes. And that's what pictures on social media are for the first week. Right. So really, I think we need to remember that they are baby mammals. Puppies are, I used to joke with my clients, puppies are baby dogs. It's obvious, but we should remember that they're babies and they're dogs, right? So they both have the characteristics of babies and they have the characteristics of dogs. They need to sleep. They need to explore. They often have big changes in emotion, big changes in needs, very dramatic changes, like over minutes, sometimes over seconds, just like other baby mammals, right? So having those times where you can sort of follow your puppy's needs, especially when you don't know them very well yet, that can be a very good foundation for you to go into. I agree with all of my panelists and also with the general veterinary professional world that those first weeks of your puppy's life, those are training and behavior gold. They will shape your puppy. They are really important. But I think sometimes, don't you think we try to go for exposure and we think more is better when we forget that for most young puppies, just living in your living room for the first week is a huge amount of exposure to novelty.
That is so absolutely true, Maya. And, you know, when you're talking about getting to know the individual dog that is in front of you, and that's so, so, so important. I think, too, that many times people who have owned a dog already and who's sadly passed away, and now you've added a brand new dog, we have a tendency to make a comparison and to sometimes expect this new little individual to be a clone of the previous dog. And that's something that you don't want to do for the obvious reasons that your new puppy is an individual. But at the same time, don't do that to yourself, because if you're busy comparing this new puppy to what your previous dog did or how their personality, you know, you might just be missing out on this dog's particular gifts. Don't ignore that. It's important to get to know this new individual. And yes, absolutely. By all means, yes. Remember your previous dog. But don't hold this new one up against that model. It's not fair to the puppy, and it's not fair to you. See what it is. See what this little box's prizes has for you. I guarantee you it's just an ongoing, gift, ongoing surprises. So make sure you don't do that to yourself.
So important to treat them like an individual. I love that you brought that up. That's hard for a lot of people. One of the things that I notice with my clients more than anything else with a new puppy is that they are not getting enough sleep. And then, of course, just like human babies or toddlers, they turn into little demon sharks. and so I usually have kind of a rule of if they've been awake for about an hour, it's probably nap time. Because, you know, obviously they're so cute. We want to play with them all day long, and then they're just not getting any rest. And so that alone can help with so many different little behavioral concerns with small puppies.
Yep. I agree. Sleep is, I think, the most underrated, undiscussed, people don't really think about it. We think about it actually with human babies, naps, naps, naps. And, you know, you've got deer and new parents are like on schedule. Everything revolves around the nap. Everything, truly. And there's a reason for that, because they know that if baby doesn't get their nap, then it just all hell's going to break loose. It's going to be cranky. Yep. With puppies, we don't really think about that. When you think about the average puppy needs around, what, I don't know, like 18 hours of sleep/rest a day, maybe even 18 to 20 hours. That's a lot, but it's not too much. That's what a puppy needs. And so you know what you feel like when you're real cranky and you haven't slept, and then, you know, you're moody. And learning is much harder when you haven't had a lot of sleep. And also sleep is really important because of sleep is when your brain organizes itself. It's when those short-term memories that and those things that you've learned throughout the day are turned into long-term memories. And studies have also shown that these forgetting neurons help the brain do that. And they only do that during sleep. So if you've taught your puppy something, you want your puppy to be able to sleep well. So there's that short-term memory, and those memories can be turned into long-term memories. So puppy remembers what it was taught the day before. Sleep is so important for health. And resting is so important for health. And I do feel, and I don't know what anyone else feels, and sorry if I'm getting a little bit on my soapbox here, but I still don't think humans get enough sleep too. I mean, we just don't, because we are go, 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 work, 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 work. And if you don't have that work-life balance, which I do not have a good work-life balance. I pretty much work all the time. You do when you run your own business. It's just what it is. But I realized then how exhausted I am and how actually that's not good. And it's the same for dogs. And I think we really have to put a larger emphasis on this. And of course, exercise. It's my favorite weekend of the year. Okay, maybe after Thanksgiving and my daughter's birthday. But it really is something I look forward to all year long, the Dog Behavior Conference. It seems like I say this every year, but it really is true. The 2024 lineup of Dog Behavior Conference speakers has me as fired up as I've ever been for what I truly believe is the most meaningful, enlightening, impactful, and inspirational event available to dog geeks like you and me anywhere in the dog world. With speakers including returning favorites like Sarah Fisher, Mike Shikashio, Arit Bloom, Andrew Hale, and Sarah Heath, to newcomers like Robert Hewings, Marty and Mikhail Becker, Lisa and Brad Wagner, and more. The range of topics covered is custom tailored to serve you no matter where you are on your dog journey. A wide-eyed newbie figuring things out for the first time, or a longtime professional trainer or shelter rescue worker looking to fine-tune your skills and knowledge. It seems like everywhere you turn now since COVID, someone is offering yet another online event, course, or conference, promising the latest and greatest in dog training knowledge. But we've been doing this for over a decade, including in-person dog behavior conferences since 2010, to accompany our longtime Victoria Stillwell Academy and Positively.com courses for guardians and pet pros alike. So go to dogbehaviorconference.com now to check out the DBC and secure your seat today. Registration is open and available to you wherever you are in the world. The live event happens from April the 19th to the 21st, but you'll automatically get access to all of the recordings from the conference for 12 months. So it's okay if you can't join us live for some or all of the weekend. The DBC is special, and I'd hate for you to miss it. So visit dogbehaviorconference.com now to get your ticket. That's dogbehaviorconference.com. And now, back to the podcast. Like, how important is exercise?
Yeah. Thanks, Vic. She knew I was going to want to talk about that. That as a certified canine fitness trainer, exercise is super important to me. And then I try and emphasize that to the people that I work with. And I think a lot of people recognize that puppies are puppies and maybe they shouldn't take their dog out, you know, run for a marathon. However, I really like what Maya said, that puppies are baby dogs, because it is true, but we don't necessarily think about how baby they are. For example, I see a lot of people walking their puppies for along like a mile long trail. And a mile can be a really long way, especially for a new baby puppy. So if we want to think about how much walking we should be doing, a 30-minute walk is a long walk for a puppy. So instead, and that's different than going out and sniffing and letting them lay down in the grass and look up at the sky and smell new things and taking rests along the way. I'm talking about like those forced marches where you make them walk next to you and walk 30 minutes. That's not what we want to be doing. Instead, we want to be doing those where we can sit in the grass and look at the trees and, you know, smell the bushes and explore things. So you can be out for 30 minutes, but we don't want to be walking and putting the weight on those joints that haven't even fully formed yet for that amount of time. And the same thing goes for training, that if we're working on sit or down or these different positions, we want to think about the fact that the bones aren't fully grown yet. The joints aren't fully developed. So asking your puppy to assume these positions, they may stop sitting after a while because it hurts or it doesn't feel good. So we want to think about that. Your puppy may not necessarily be being stubborn or not listening. It's that it hurts or they don't really want to do it anymore because their body's telling them no. So we want to be sure we're listening to that. Same thing for when your puppy stops walking on walks. So your dog, your older dog or your senior dog stops walking on walks. They may be trying to tell you something, not that they're out of shape, or maybe they are out of shape, but not that they don't want to. It may be that their body's telling them that they can't. So we want to be sure that we're listening to that as well and be sure that your puppy is probably going to get adequate exercise on his or her own. They're going to want to be going around enough. So we don't have to necessarily tire them out in that sense. We want to be really cautious of those new puppy bodies.
I want to add that that's true for new dogs too, especially if we don't know their history. I recently was traveling and I brought just one pair of shoes, a pair of shoes that I wear pretty often at home, but not all the time. man, by the end of 3 weeks wearing those pair of shoes, that different pair of shoes on different surface, I was sore too. And it made me think about the ways in which when we take dogs, even healthy adult dogs, out of their environment and put them in other ones, we may be challenging their bodies in brand new ways. And we may see some pain or soreness come out that was there, that is exacerbated, some that might leave, and some that's just a part of adjustment, like getting used to those new shoes in there. But I wanted to talk about the human side for a second. I've been blessed or cursed to raise a lot of puppies in my life for other people, as well as my own puppies. And I have experienced many times, as I'm sure those of you who have raised dogs or fostered dogs have, what often gets called the puppy blues. This is that early period where you don't really know your dog very well, and they don't know a lot about their environment. And it's so overwhelming. It feels like you can never look away, like you're not doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. How do we make sure that we're meeting our socialization requirements and our house training requirements and getting the puppy enough sleep and getting the puppy enough exercise and us getting enough sleep and us getting enough exercise and eating too? And sometimes I have had the feeling, and I've had clients who have had the feeling that, gosh, this is really hard. Like, I must be doing something wrong if it's this hard. Or maybe there's something, maybe this isn't the right dog or puppy for me. And sometimes that's true. But in my experience, for the most part, even if they are the right puppy for me, I still go through that phase. So I just wanted to bring that out, that sort of, it doesn't always feel like a honeymoon with your brand new dog.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. Because I think people put a lot of pressure on themselves. And then they're like, I shouldn't be feeling like this about my puppy. I shouldn't be like, oh God, it's crying again. Or it just peed on the floor again. Shouldn't be feeling like it's a puppy. It's the same when you're a new mom of a baby and the baby's crying. You're exhausted. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You've been asleep. Oh God, I don't want to get up and feed you. Don't worry. That's normal. That's normal. But can I pivot a little bit? Because I do think this needs to be addressed. And I do want to ask you, Maya, what you think about this. And I know that I've actually already been asked, because people on Positively are like reading our stance on crate training, house training for puppies. And so, Maya, can you just take this? Because I know that, well, we have quite maybe a different idea of crate training. We've been exploring, should you not crate train your puppy? Yeah.
Yeah.
What we say might surprise you.
Yeah. So I want to put this out. This reflects only me. I am not against teaching your dog to be comfortable in confinement. But I think we have, as an industry, sold the idea that they come together. House training and crate training are the same thing. And I want us to just pause and think about that for a minute. If we have a baby dog who is not physiologically developed, and we say, as many trainers, I've said this in the past, would say, well, we put them in a crate so they learn to hold it because they won't soil where they sleep. I'm going to go back to travel because obviously that was a meaningful experience for me recently. I was in the center seat. I did not soil where I slept, but it wasn't a great experience for me. And it took some physiological control. So we want to think about those skills, I think, separately. And that's the way that we're presenting them now. Teaching your puppy to be comfortable in confinement is not necessary for teaching your puppy where and when to eliminate. And there are many solutions to help your young puppy. Depending on how old they are, depending on how big they are, oftentimes little dogs take longer to mature physiologically smaller dogs take longer to mature. So the very first thing to think about, and I'll drop the link in our chat so you can check out our guide to house training, is where do you want this puppy to go when they're an adult? And that might be different depending on your living situation. Once you have that, there are lots of possible transitions that will get you a lot more sleep and get your puppy eliminating in the right spot. And back to that puppy blues, I feel like if anyone is out there, I needed to hear this recently as a professional. If anyone's out there right now with an older puppy who just had an accident after not having an accident, oh my gosh, your puppy will get there. They will get there. Sometimes it feels like your house training is not a guarantee, but your puppy will get there with persistence, but you may need to find some other solutions in the meantime too.
I love that. Yes.
So great, Maya. Thank you. So we had another question. How helpful is an older resident dog in teaching the puppy? And I think I will probably start by using a phrase that many dog trainers are very familiar with, which is, it depends. I think it can be quite helpful if that resident older dog is a dog who is enjoying the experience and not just tolerating or feeling pestered and frustrated. So it is still very important for the humans to watch the body language of both the puppy and the older dog. You also want to think about everything that we've discussed, which is what Ali mentioned, is, you know, how old is that resident dog? Are there any pain issues involved? Is it a senior dog where there might be arthritis? Or other medical issues that quite frankly cause it to not want to have to interact with such a young puppy. So I think there can be some really wonderful experiences and the puppy can learn some really great things from a current dog in the home. We often, you know, call that social facilitation. But we also want to be careful if they're learning something you may not want them to learn from that resident dog. So perhaps the dog you already have in the home has some issues that you wish you had addressed or are still wanting to address, you know, barking at something out the window or jumping on guests, just as a couple of standard examples. The puppy can potentially learn that from the resident dog. So they can learn the good and they can learn the not so great, or the things that I'm not saying are bad because the dog doesn't think they are. They're just doing what dogs do. But those things may not be the things you want your new puppy to learn. So you just have to be very cognizant of that and always, always safety first, and being very aware of if both dogs are safe and comfortable with each other, and not just let whatever happens happen. Please don't do that.
There's a very famous video on YouTube, and it was a long time ago, about an older lab helping a little lab puppy walk down the stairs. Teaching almost, yeah. That's kind of a good, and it would go up the stairs and come back down, and up the stairs and come back down, and then puppy grad. I loved it. It was one of my favorite videos.
I was going to say, Victoria, wasn't the next part of that a cat that showed an older cat and a younger cat, and the older cat bopped the cat down the stairs?
Oh, I haven't seen. Oh, no. Yes, I did see that. I did see that one. Brilliant. That was a long time ago. Oh, my God. Yeah. Fabulous.
Yeah, I think that was the next part. And it does emphasize that, like, yes, older dogs can teach puppies things, but they may not always teach the things that you want to teach them. And we had another question in the Q&A, and I do want to address that. We're not specifically talking about like a specific case here, but just in general, if your puppy is showing signs of fear, so say perhaps your puppy is hiding sometimes, or hiding behind you, or hiding under things, or showing any signs of fear, if your puppy starts barking a lot at certain stimuli, or again, showing any other types of cowering or fear behaviors, you definitely want to take it at the puppy's pace. So you don't want to force the puppy into any situation. You don't want to make the puppy get over it. It's not going to pan out. We want to work at the puppy's pace, and just slow exposures over time may help. It's possible that you could use some treats, although we don't want to set up the puppy to be in a point of conflict, that if the puppy is afraid of something, we don't want to make it that if you do the scary thing, you get a treat. Instead, it's, hey, if you stay a safe distance away from, which is your perspective. So in the puppy's, what is the puppy's definition of a safe distance away? Maybe we can get some treats and we can start to think that, hey, this is okay, and that you are safe and you are well and nothing bad is happening to you. But if you find that this behavior persists, you may want to find a professional dog trainer. It's when they can come in and help. And you can find some at positively.com through our Find a Trainer. You can find our wonderful licensed Victoria Stillwell Positively Dog Trainers, our VSPDTs, as well as some VSA graduates. So you can find a trainer that will help your dog help your puppy or your dog overcome this in a positive way. That's so important for any dog and for puppies and for people, that we don't want to introduce scarier things to make the first scary thing less scary. That's not really how training works.
Yeah. And if there isn't a trainer in your area, you can, we do virtual, lots of our trainers do virtual consultations as well. And yeah, I think it is worth sort of reminding, going back to that kind of that older dog teaching that younger dog, it's not your older dog's job to do that. You don't have to, that's not your older dog's job. But I do remember when I was young and I went to Wales, it was my favorite place to go. I know I mentioned it before. And it was a sheep farm and they had sheep dogs, obviously, and it was a huge sheep farm in Wales. And I would spend all day with the farmer and driving around the beautiful mountains and during lambing season, which is March, and working the dogs. And I have to say, I saw how a younger puppy, I guess it was more of an adolescent, was watching and learning and then doing. I saw it myself with my own eyes. This is one of the ways, not the only way, because there was additional things that the farmer did, but it was one of the ways the farmer taught his new dogs what to do. And it was unbelievable to watch that. So it can be done, but as long as it's the right way and it's not your pup's job. It's not your dog's job, is it?
And, you know, when you have, right now I have a situation, I've got a 5-year-old dog and I've got an almost 1-year-old dog, both retrievers. So I've got my hands full definitely with the 1-year-old. And the 5-year-old, they do play, they roughhouse, they do the, you know, they do bitey face and all that. However, there are times when she's like, okay, enough. I've had enough and I need to be separated. So it's important to watch what your dogs do. So we've set it up right now so that we have baby gates so that we can kind of separate them and rotate them as necessary, particularly when our older dog needs that break. It's, you know, right now he's at an age where I liken it to my 14-year-old son. That's, you know, that's a lot of sass. It's a lot of energy. And after a while, for a dog that's 5 years old at that point, she can handle some of it. But then after a while, it's like, okay, this is getting old. And, you know, things that she'll do is walk up to the gate. The moment that she does that, I know immediately, all right, you want out, no problem. And she will just go right on over to the other side of the gate and lay down. It's not like she just goes off in a huff. She still wants to kind of be around, but just like, give me a break from my other, from this little piece of, he's just not being that much fun right now. So pay attention to what the older dog is saying as well. Make sure that you're keeping an eye on that, because many times your interference and your ability to separate them is going to be the only way that the older dog can get the breaks that they need. So
I think that's really important. And people don't think about it, but even when you've got two dogs in the same household, I'm a great believer of dogs having a little bit of space. Don't siblings as well need space? Don't we all need space sometimes? And yet, if you have a puppy with an older dog, oh my gosh, they need a little downtime. So a baby gate is great. It doesn't isolate, but it does separate for a little bit. And I think also, Lorena, what you bring up a really good point, that it's advocating for your dog, for both of them actually, but it's saying, okay, I understand what you're trying to say to me, and I will let you out. I will let you have a little bit of downtime, a little bit of space, and that's of paramount importance.
So I want to just talk about a little bit about, okay, now we've potted our puppies, we have worked on basics of body language, and let's just say you're a superhero and you're thinking about where to start with training your dog. Your young dog, your new dog, your new to training dog, or your puppy. And I'm curious to know what the rest of you think about this. I was thinking that the way that I would start that is by teaching my puppy or dog how to eat. How to eat different things in different places, and maybe how to play. in different ways and in different places. I think this is a skill we think dogs have, but it's actually one that we should teach first. So I might roll a treat across the ground. I might feed from the hand. I might drop it into a snuffle mat. I might drop it into a bowl. I also want to know, what foods are you interested in? Do you like crunchy? Do you like soft? What can I handle? What am I comfortable touching? I, for one, am not a slimy person. So we have to find some treat that isn't slimy, or I'm not going to carry it. So all of those things, those lessons, I think, are where I would start with my puppy once we knew each other and we had our routine down.
One thing that you all are raising that's so important is that we're setting the tone of the relationship with this animal right from the beginning. And so what are the expectations we're setting up? We don't want to set up a relationship of confrontation and conflict. We want to set up a relationship where we're their ally. And if there is something that we really don't like, is there a way to do what some experts call side swipes, where you get to the point without having a direct conflict? You redirect them in some way to something that's preferable, so that they begin to trust you and turn to you for help to achieve their goals, rather than see you as an adversary. And it sets up a different dynamic throughout, you know, your whole life together.
I love that, Wendy. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Heading back to eating, from personal experience, when my little miniature dachshund was a puppy, I started off giving him his food in a bowl. And I would notice that he would tip his bowl over and throw the food everywhere. And I was like, why is he doing this? But then I switched to, you know, like the licky mats, the flat ones. And all of a sudden it clicked. And I was like, oh, okay, this works. And then we kept at that. And it really is finding what works for your dog. And it can be something as simple as how they like to eat. And it could just change so much for your dog and make it so much simpler for not only your dog, but also you, who has to go and pick up all the little bits of kibble.
You know, all of this, I mean, we have so much to discuss, and unfortunately we're coming to the end of our podcast, but I do have to say that, having a puppy is such a massive, it's not a decision that should be taken lightly. And it can be so amazing. And so we don't want to put you off, because raising that dog can be just the most incredible experience. But you do need to have a support system. And I'd say that's the most important thing, to have a support system around you. A trainer, a great vet, the groomer if you need, friends, family, other animal care professionals to help you, because you can't do it all by yourself. And you need help. And that puppy as well benefits from being introduced and hanging out a little bit with other people as well. So I would say that, you know, if you need help, then do go to positively.com. We do have some amazing courses on there for you to take. Do find a trainer. Again, we've got positively.com. You can find a trainer there to do an in-person or a virtual consultation, and reach out. If it's just getting too much, reach out for people to help you. Next month, I would like to take this on and talk about adolescence, because I do think adolescent dogs get a bad rap. Yes, they're the ones that seem to be relinquished to shelters, because after the cute puppy phase is done and adolescence comes in, people are like, they put their hands up and they go, oh my gosh, I've got Cujo here. I cannot handle it. I'm done. I'm out of here. But something that the wonderful Sarah Fisher always says is, why do we always kind of see adolescence as a like, ugh? Well, I think there is a good reason for it, because both in humans and animals, it can be like, oh gosh, definitely I've experienced both. If we could turn that around, like Sarah Fisher says, and see it as this incredible time of growth and learning. So that's what I would like to focus on next month, is adolescent dogs and how we can celebrate all of that behavior. In our course, Brave, which is a fabulous selection of courses in onpositively.com, in Brave, we have this thing. So Brave is kind of, it's sort of an acronym, I would say. B equals brave. R, resilience. A, adaptable. V is valued, and E is empowered. But V is valued because we value the behavior that we don't like and we call naughty or bad as much as we value the behavior that we like. I think it's very easy to say, oh, celebrate our dogs because they're so good. That dog's being so good because it doesn't bark. Well, that's such a good dog. We say that about babies. Oh, your baby didn't cry. It's such a good baby. No, it's not. How can you say that? It's just because you prefer that behavior. So I want to look at adolescent behavior and value that behavior as much as we might value everything that dog does right in our minds to everything that dog is not going to do right in our minds. So that's what we're going to focus on. I hope that you have enjoyed today's podcast. And also thank you for joining us live, guys, and for your comments on the chat. We really appreciate it. And thank you to all the fabulous panelists here, to Jamie and Ali, Laura, Wendy, Maya, Lorena, and Tiffany. You are an amazing team. And I always love having these discussions with you. So thank you everybody for joining, and have a great time training your dog and National Train Your Dog Month. And to all you podcast listeners, I hope that you enjoyed it, and we will be back again very soon. Thanks everybody, and take care. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Victoria Stillwell's Positively Podcast. For Victoria's online dog training courses, more information, and helpful dog training tips, visit Victoria's official website at positively.com. Get connected on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media as Victoria Stillwell, and follow her on Twitter at Victoria S. Learn to become a professional dog trainer with the Victoria Stillwell Academy at vsdogtrainingacademy.com. And be sure to tune in next time as Victoria helps you and your dog live your best life together. Positively.